Hey friends, how are you doing? Happy Thursday, Trisha Well. Graham coming to you live-ish from France. I'm spending a week here in France. I'll be home next week and all is well. Few quick housekeeping things, and I want to share in a moment one of probably the greatest key I know to the Christian life, but we'll get there in a moment. Number one though, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button down there and share these videos. It really does help to do that. Secondly, if you don't yet receive our email newsletter, been working on revamping that this week actually, there'll be a link below. And we give a free gift to everybody who signs up for our email newsletter. Thirdly, I have my ministry school, been putting that back online this week. I have three new courses out, and I'm going to be putting my ordination preparation for ministry course, which has over 100 videos. That's going to be going out next Monday and is going to be half price for 1 week only. So details on my website about that. Good. Well, today is 14 Juillet, is 14th of July, which is Bastille Day in France. It's a bit like the 4th of July in America, but it's a jour férié, like a holiday here in France. And lots of things going on in our town here. Tonight we're going to a whole soirée the whole village puts on, and music and dancing and food and what have you. So that's what's happening today. It's interesting. I was talking with some guy yesterday. France has a kind of ride sharing app, blah, blah car. And my daughter and I went to Lyon yesterday and got a ride back with a couple of French people. And we were just comparing the difference between America and France. And it probably annoyed these French people to say that. But I was saying, you know, what the French did in the French Revolution is they replaced the king with the state. And frankly, here in France, although I love France, the state, l'état, is more powerful than the king ever was and rules people's lives more. They got rid of one king and they put an all-powerful, all-loving nanny state in its place. It's interesting, although we're guilty of practically doing that at times in America, what the American Revolution did was got rid of the king, the British king. And in effect, the American Constitution says, we the people recognize these rights come from God and we'll give some of them to the government. So whereas France goes, the power's in the state and the state gives the people rights, the American Constitution said, there's God, underneath God, there's the people, and underneath the people, there's the government, at least in theory. So let's keep it that way. I want to share something real quick with you guys. Let me read a passage. Let me begin with this. I could really put so many verses around this. It's really in John chapter 1, one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. I think I can quote the whole thing. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. And round about verse 19, it says, this is the testimony of John. So I want you to just soak in this for a few moments today. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Yeah? You know, the world is asking us, and actually we ask ourselves in a way, who are you? And in verse 20 it says, John confessed and did not deny, but confessing, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He said, no. Verse 22, they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? And in verse 23, John quotes Isaiah 40, where he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Come on, we'll be long here, guys, but come with me on a little journey. This is probably one of the greatest keys, one of the greatest differentiators between somebody who has a Christian life that actually works and somebody who does not. You know, in the Christian life, we really fail for three reasons. The three primary reasons, I believe, why we miss it and we fail. The first one is a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 verse 6, Isaiah 5:13 says, my people, not the people in the world, God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we fail because we don't have knowledge of God's word. God loves you. He loves your darling socks. But if you don't have any word in you, you're a waste of space. I didn't say you don't have any value. I don't say God doesn't love you. I'm saying you're never going to do anything that hurts the enemy. And you're never going to take possession of the life God has for you without the knowledge of the word. You say, Graham, I'm a charismatic and I laugh in the spirit and I get drunk and I shakalaba, she came in. Amen, me too. Yeah, every day, speaking tongues every day. But I tell you what, the Spirit, John 1:1, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, but nothing happened until the Word came, and the Word and the Spirit together produce results in our life. So we fail, number one, because of a lack of knowledge. Secondly, we fail, it's like Jesus said in Matthew 13:19, because of a lack of understanding. There are some who've gotten the word, but they misunderstand and misinterpret the word. They're often waiting for God to do things rather than realizing he's already done them. So many Christians I know, the pushing off into a future eon until the return of Jesus, to the millennium, to the New Jerusalem, things that God actually wants them to live and walk and labor and experience today. And what is that? Well, they've got some Bible knowledge, but it's not according to knowledge. They've got a faulty interpretation of that. If I give you some facts, but you misinterpret those facts, they're actually not going to be useful to you. And the third, way in which we fail is a lack of application. It's really what James says in James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And in my experience, especially in the circles in which I kind of minister primarily, people have knowledge. There's lots of knowledge available. And I think people also have a fair amount of understanding. Most of the people I know in Christian circles actually desire to be teachers, and yet they themselves are not applying the thing they want to teach others. So others come and look at their life and go, well, that's great, you've got these things to teach me, but where's the fruit of it? Where's the result of it? Where's the proof? What has that demonstrated? You want me to follow you, but have you through faith and patience inherited promises in your life? And really what I want to go today, this story about John, I think it encompasses that practical third step of how do we apply the word of God to our life? How do we know truth? Amen. How do we understand it correctly? But then how do we apply it in our life? And I love the story of John because John is a really humble man. If you took a poll of most Christians and said, tell me about John the Baptist, you know, they'd talk about baptisms, I guess, it's in the name. They'd talk about, John wearing this camel skin coat thing, eating locusts and honey. But we have an impression, rightly so, of John as being a really humble man. John's motto, on John's t-shirt, it said, he must increase, I must decrease. But I want you to see this. The Pharisees sent the messengers, if you will, the servants, to see John and said, who are you? Like the Who song, who are you? Who are you? And they said this lovely phrase. I used to preach on this years ago in the King James, and I'm reading the New King James. But in verse 22, it says, what do you say about yourself? What sayest thee of thyself in the King James? But what do you say about yourself? And they ask him, what do you say about yourself? His answer, if I can paraphrase it, his answer was, I say about myself what the word of God says about myself. And that's really the key in a way. Come on, what is God saying over you today? What has he already said in his word? What are those specific things he's saying to you and over you today? And what are you saying about yourself? Yeah. And I think those who only those who enter into the only ones who'll enter into the promised land God's really got for them are those who consistently say of themselves the things God is saying of them. And, it's funny, I was in a prayer meeting recently, and it's so cultural in a way. I grew up in a church like this in the UK, a great church, but whenever anybody pray, they'd always want to tell God what a miserable person they were. What a sinner, God, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm miserable, I'm a sinner. And tell God all of these things rather than identifying I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a child of God. I belong here. I come into the holiest place with boldness. Why? Because of the blood that's on the altar. And so often we wrap ourselves up in these religious identities rather than, come on, what say you of yourself? Saying of yourself what God is saying. And I believe if come on, anybody watching this video would daily arise and say, I'm an effective witness. I'm a soul winner. I bear fruit, fruit that remains. I've been called, chosen, and ordained that I would bring forth fruit, fruit that remains. John 15. Lord, everywhere I go, I bring your healing power. When I put my hands on the sick, they shall recover. I'm an able minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, because it kills, but of the spirit which gives life. What are you saying about yourself? And my encouragement to you today, you know, is if anybody's, one of the litmus tests of somebody who's really religious is they hear that teaching and they go, okay, pat on the head, that's cheesy. They look down at the principles of God's word. Don't be that person. That's what the Pharisees were. John clothed himself in true humility, not by demeaning himself, not by in pride exalting himself, but literally John wrapped himself in the word of God, Selah. So what say thee of thyself? That's my question to you today. Thanks for watching, guys. Hey, do share this video. Hit that subscribe button if you're new to my YouTube channel and check out some of those videos and the links below. Bye for now.